dogs in the yard, might need a guard. Every loss, taken to heart. Me first, that cannot be. Must be these underdog episodes, see? Feeling much better, so suddenly. Under the moniker, Monica G. Crafted at night, while all of them sleep. I won't look a fool, taking this tool. Defeating the opposition around me. No, no, I'm not sorry. Yes, I'm taking this knowledge imparted. Just barking, no harm, don't be startled. Yes, I'm taking the title, and it's so vital. Thanks for the ride, I'll never be idle. Turn up the dial, it's about to get wild. And the points gon' pile up.
That is the underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now. Dynasty underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now.
Welcome to episode 144 of Dynasty Underdog. I am absolutely shook today. Wow. we barely got the stream going.
We made it.
If you were tuned in, you probably saw us go dark real quick after going live. Yeah, and Uriah, we thought Uriah was going to be here this week. Uriah missing out again, unfortunately. Hope everything's okay with him, and we'll get him back here next week. But got Josh here with me. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good. Glad to be here. Happy to be here. Happy we got going.
Yeah, yeah. Your face looks a lot better than it did when we couldn't get this stream going. Wow, what a brutal start. But we're here. We have a mishmash of content, just a bunch of different stuff going here.
But look, we're the underdogs. We persevered and made it out.
Always. We always do. All right, so we'll just get it started with the news and nonsense. We have a couple items here, some related to the Dynasty Underdog Listener League, some related to the NFL, so we're just going to hop into it. Starting off with Foster Moreau, who is going through cancer treatment, but the New Orleans Saints, they have a ton of faith in, I guess, the treatment, the future, and they don't want anybody else touching Foster Moreau. They gave him, it looked like, what was it, a three-year deal?
318, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty
significant deal for a guy who is not going to play this year. I know they have Juwan Johnson there, who I think you and I both like a little bit, a good flyer, good late round tight end guy, but putting that kind of money and investment into Foster Moreau has got to get us a little excited for you know, how they want to use him in the future, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, not only is this a feel-good story, I think it's a perfect landing spot for him, especially when they just traded away Troutman, and I would not be that surprised if Hill's the next one going to over the Broncos, so.
Yeah.
That room will open up really quick.
Sending Taysom over there, too. Yeah, just Peyton's going to bring his whole band of brothers over. Yeah, there's definitely room for a tight end there to take some targets, to earn some targets. So I've always liked Foster Moreau. I've talked about him a good bit when he was backing up Darren Waller over in what is it, Vegas now on the Raiders. So I like what he brings to the table, and if somebody gives him a shot, you know, to lead a tight end group, I think he can definitely do some things. I don't know if he'll ever, you know, reach much more than like a top 10, you know, at best kind of guy at back end of it, but still. He's on waivers right now in some leagues, and I'm sure people have noticed, but he's definitely worth dropping some fab on for sure.
Oh, more for sure. And I mean, smart to link him again with Derek Carr, setting him up for success. And I honestly think this was a home run, no brainer. But I completely could see Hill being traded to the Broncos if Wilson starts to struggle early. Sean Payton brings in his guy and at least plays out this season with him.
Yeah, I don't know what his contract's like for the Saints, but I got to imagine that they really have no interest in holding on him. I know that he's a good gadget, you know, Swiss Army knife kind of player, but I feel like they've kind of got to move on from whatever that experiment has been, because it's been useful. I don't know if it's been all that successful in terms of adding, you know, to contributing to wins per se. So there's that. That's really the NFL news that's going around right now. I don't know if there's been any other big signings or anything like that, but
nothing that I've seen.
Yeah, I do want to get into something that we actually haven't brought up to our listener leagues yet. So if anybody's listening right now,
strap in.
If any of our listeners who are in the listener leagues are listening right now, you'll get a heads up on this. And I don't know really a better way to fix this than kind of the way that I'm going to propose
decided.
It. Yeah, but we can kind of just throw it out there. But I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody, but either way, we
effed up. fucked up. I'll say it. We fucked up.
Bad. Yeah, but you know what? Nobody in the league noticed either. So in our bylaws, we have that the toilet bowl winner gets an extra pick. I think in DU1, it's 113. In DU2, it's 213 or something like that. Whatever it is, it's the second round in one of them and first round in the other. Nobody noticed that we didn't assign those picks during, and we already had our rookie draft, so it's over. Like, it's gone. There's nothing, there's no going back on that. So, first of all, I mean, it's just a massive fail on us. I feel terrible. Nobody in the league noticed, though. I mean, it just shows you how much everybody's paying attention to the bylaws.
Yeah. But also, I mean, we completely could have pushed this under the rug, but we want to be transparent and own up to our fuck up, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, we're not gonna hide behind anything. It's not that big of a deal. I don't know if there's a great way to fix it. Maybe if everybody in the league just agrees they don't want to do anything, then that's fine. I'm totally okay with that. But I think from my perspective, the best way to handle it would be just add on to whatever the pick, you know, the 113 next year, add a 114, you know, for this year. 2024 supposedly a better class, you get all that in there, you know what I mean? So you can kind of massage it to make everybody feel better. One way or another, it's just a mess up, and hopefully everybody's okay with that fix. I don't really see another way of fixing it other than just saying we're moving on and doing it next year, but I think to make the people who want it feel better and everybody going forward, that's the only fix. It's giving them a pick next year in some form or fashion. I just don't know what that form or fashion is.
Right. I mean, maybe we'll have to do some kind of tiebreaker between 13, whoever wins the toilet bowl next year, and then figure out who gets 13, who gets 14. But we're working on it. This will not go by the wayside.
No, I mean, we have a pretty agreeable group, so everybody might just be cool with taking whatever we say. I'm hoping that that's okay, because I really don't, like, I feel awful about this just as somebody who's commissioning these leagues and cares about this stuff a lot, for that to kind of just fall through the cracks. Yeah, that sucks, and definitely won't let that happen again. Yeah, tough stuff there. So, yeah, I guess if you're a commissioner, you mess up on something like this, just own it up, take it on the chin, and just come up with a solution that, you know, everybody can be okay with. And I think that we've kind of done that here, and yeah, I'm hoping everybody's good with it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Brutal.
It's life.
Is it? It's not the life I want to live. All right, well...
That's because you're risk averse.
This is not the kind of risk I want to take. When I take risks, I want it to be worth it, not this. That's tough stuff. Okay. Sorry to the underdog listener leagues. We'll fix it, and that won't happen again. Anyway, quick Devi strategy. I really want to get into this really fast. I've had a bunch of my Devi leagues, the supplemental drafts, come up. So when I say that, I mean we had our startup a year ago, right? Full dynasty startup. We had the Devi startup right after that. So it's a very depleted pool of players, right? Or at least all of like the 24, 23, 24, maybe some 25 prospects have been snatched up. So in theory and, you know, initial thought, you're like, it's pretty thin out there, right? Like these picks aren't really worth it. I get that. And I was actually listening to a Devi mock draft, supplemental mock draft today. And I heard a lot of guys picking, like, you know, Sam Laporta's and Luke Musgraves and, you know, guys who are rookies this year who weren't taken in the Devi drafts. And just, you know, the thought of this is a really good tight end class. They're going to produce now. They you know, taking Luke Shoemaker at the end of the fourth round. And Kate, and I'm kind of just talking all over the place here, but I'm getting there. Trust me. Katie Flower came on here one time and talked about how every Devi pick should be seen as like a first round pick. And I think for me, it really took, and I'm like this, I need to like actually do it and see it in practice for it to like really hit me. But it took me kind of getting into like one or two supplemental drafts a year, you know, two into the Devi leagues to see what she actually meant. And so my strategy has really shifted in terms of the Devi players I'm targeting, both in startups and in these supplemental drafts, right? So I think it's, for me, I will not touch a rookie unless they are a top end, like Zay, like probably top like eight pick, like in this draft. Like sometimes it'd probably be first round pick in general, but this draft's a little thinner towards the end. So, you know, top eight pick, I'm still taking those over most of the Devi guys, obviously, right? Those are really, really solid players. After that, every single round, I will not waste my pick on an incoming player into an incoming rookie, right? 23 rookie. The best thing you can do, in my opinion, in these Devi drafts in general is go look at the high end recruits, the five star recruits, right? Target five star recruits in 2022, 2023, and if you can, 2024 Debbie classes, depending on, you know, who you're picking. But essentially, the freshmen of this year, the 2026 class, who are going to be eligible by that time, those guys are like nobody pays attention to them for some reason. And these are guys who are five star recruits who, you know, they're not all going to be hits for sure, but you can put a pretty good bet on that these guys are going to rise substantially in value. So for me, like, my entire strategy, and especially for contending teams, I do not care about 23 players, and the players coming in next year, I might care about if they're that good. If they're not that good, I don't care. I want to go after guys like Zachariah Branch is a perfect example. He's like the number one wide receiver on 247 composite rankings for the 23 class, right? So these are guys who will be eligible in 2026. He didn't go until the end of the second round in a Devy startup I'm in, and I got him at the beginning of the second in a supplemental Devy draft, which is insane to me. This kid's going to USC. He's going to be an absolute stud. You watch his tape, you're like, holy crap. And for some reason, everybody with Devy sees or tries to, you know, look at it like the players who are coming in now are more valuable because they're going to score points now. But I just don't even think that's true, because all I need to do is wait 1 year, and that guy who you don't know about, you're going to know about all of a sudden, and you're going to want a piece of, right? So I think that that's something that for some reason gets lost on folks. And I think that the process is a little bit easier than we make it with Devy. We try to say like, who's like the craziest low end guy to find. And there's places to go find those guys if you want to, rankings. But I think the easiest thing to do with when you just have like these, you know, 4 round startup Devy drafts, and then you have a 4 round supplemental after and stuff like that, which is pretty thin, right? Pretty thin for right. Devy, at least in my opinion, for sure. When I'm doing like a 10 round, when, you know, we do C2C and 10 round startups. So for those leagues, all you need to be touching is Deuce Robinson, is Jurion Dickey, is all these guys who are five star. Like I just said, Zachariah Branch, Richard Young. There's these guys who you've never heard of before, but they're all five star recruits going to Alabama, USC, you know, LSU. Like all these guys, you don't need to look that far. You just need to target those guys, hold on to top end talent, and just let it build value on your team. I think everybody gets worried about 3 years out, 3 years out, 3 years out. We play in 3 year windows, and these guys build value quicker than that. So they're super valuable pieces we let go. I was in it. Like I said, I was in a supplemental, a different one today. So many people, somebody in there said, why are you taking Jurion Dickey over Hendon Hooker? And I'm like, well, Hendon Hooker, you know, is a backup who could ascend. And yeah, maybe he's like out, you know, on the off chance he's Jalen Hurts, I miss out. Okay. Maybe. But, you know, Jurion Dickey has a chance of, this is a five-star wide receiver recruit, you know, already pretty refined in his route running skills. Like, this guy has a chance to be a first-round pick in the future. So that's why he's getting drafted over him, because there's just this substantial gap in upside and potential, and it gets lost, I think, with people in these Devy drafts who, and for me, it was lost on me too. I had to kind of refine my process and figure it out, but I'm trying to kind of highlight. I think there's a bit easier way. Go to 247, look up the top recruits for the, you know, QB, wide receiver, running back, and tight end. I mean, you're going to have a pretty good group of players that you can pick from.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. For me, it's just been like a big thing is hitting on those five-star recruits, find five-star recruits. And there's a lot of them that really slip through the cracks in these Devy drafts. And it doesn't make sense to me. For me, the overall strategy is to build value. And I think that's the way to do it is to get these younger guys who have tons of value in future years, even though you may never have them on your team. You may sell them before that ever happens. But the point is to get them on your team, because for contending teams, for me, I have a lot of teams where like I either sold off picks, have only a few picks, but the picks that I have, I make the most of by doing that, by getting a Zachariah Branch and making sure that I get the next Jamar Chase-ish type guy or whatever. You know what right. I mean?
No, in my C2C, the best thing I've been doing is just going on fan trucks during the season. Because nobody seems to run those waivers in season. Just finding out who's hot, throw them on your roster and see what happens.
Yeah, you don't have to pay to upgrade them to your NFL roster. So just, again, it's like a dartboard. Throw it out there and see what sticks.
It's so weird. I think one of the things that I found, it feels like that I'm looking at that everybody else isn't, which isn't, there's nothing complicated about this, but going to 247 composite rankings and finding all the five-star guys and just nailing them down, man. Because a lot of people with Devy, I think they like to take shots on guys that they just think are going to be good. They fall in love with random guys. They go watch tape and they're like, oh, this guy's going to be a sleeper. Nobody knows about him. 3-star, 2-star. He's going to be a stud out of Iowa State. You know, he's the next, you know, Breece Hall or the next guy out of Iowa, the next Kittle out of Iowa or whatever it is, Iowa State. So I think you get hung up on that instead of just like, for me, I take the name out of it. I go and I look for a profile of player. Is he big, strong, and is he a 4 or 5 star recruit? Is he on a great team? Is he highly recruited? Like those, like pretty simple, like basic things, you know?
I know you just brought up Iowa and Iowa State just as examples, but I would honestly be staying away from any of those players right now.
I was just bringing them up as examples. Because
no, I know.
Laporta's from there. We've had Hawkinson. I'm just saying, like, you get right. The idea of these players are this, and then you just hold on to it.
But the player's not smart enough not to gamble on games, so.
Oh, that's where we're going. Okay. I didn't know that's where we were going to end up.
Oh, that's what I was talking about, 100%. They're both being investigated right now. It's such bullshit.
All right, that's all I wanted to talk about. I've been getting into these Debbie drafts, so anybody has more Debbie questions, hop into our Discord. You can ask us, and we will tell you all you need to know. I've got a slew of Debbie picks if anybody wants them. I'm in some deeper drafts, and I've kind of really dove headfirst into it the last week or two here. All right, so let's hop back into some rookie talk. We were hoping to have your eye here to talk a little bit about some maybe mistakes and misses in our rookie drafts and some post-draft risers and fallers. We're going to get into those two topics real quick here. And we'll start with some maybe mistakes and misses. Do you have any, Josh?
I have two. One is Luke Shoemaker. I didn't get any shares of him.
That's tough, yeah.
And, me either. Yeah, and the other one is purely just a – I'm just very curious to see how his career ends up, and I kind of would like to have at least one share of him. But Zach Charbonnet?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's becoming difficult to draft Charbonnet, you know, for me in general. There's really – I don't know. It just seems like I don't have any of those picks, like, right where that – it seems like he's at the 112-201 turn.
I'm looking at my, like, quote-unquote prize rookie draft that we just did, and he literally went at the 112.
Right. And I don't have any picks like right there anymore. I've probably sold them off. And yeah, it'd be nice to have some of him because I just like the player, but the situation is just so unsavory. It's just, it's hard to buy in and really go up there and try to search for shares. So that's one reason I don't have him. Shoemaker. Yeah. He's one that I probably could have snagged in like the third or fourth round with one of my picks here or there. He definitely is sliding into a role. The way they drafted him, the capital they spent on him, he's likely going to slide into a starting role there, or, you know, unless he is just bad. But if he shows any sort of ability, he's going to probably take over the role. So yeah, that's a good one. And in that offense, you know, Dak loves to target that position. So
one more that I forgot about, Devin Achane.
Oh yeah, I was actually able to snag him in the league with our boys from home. I was able to snag him, which I was so surprised. It's like a bunch of Miami boys. I got him at the 201 in a 1QB league. I couldn't even, or the 202.
That's about where he's going. I had the 204 and was hoping these people were going past on him. And
no, but
he went at
this
201.
Josh, this is a 1QB.
I know,
league.
I get it.
Oh. He should not be going 1QB. He should not. He should not be going in the second round of 1QB league. It was shocking to me. So, actually, you know what? I think I might have gotten Charbonnet in one of these leagues. I forgot what it was, but maybe I'm thinking of something different. I definitely got a chain though. And I remember they all were like, they sent me crying faces cause they all wanted him. They were like, let's talk. I was like, yeah. Okay. So yeah, those are some good ones. Definitely. I agree with you on Shoemaker for sure. I think my main one for me is Josh Downs, player I like a good bit pre-draft. And one of those guys who just the spot he went to, just with Anthony Richardson year one, you're like, damn, this is going to be tough. And I think that got in my head a little too much. I selected Cedric Tillman over him in a draft, and I think I'm going to be regretting that. I think Cedric Tillman can still be a good player. Definitely could end up being number two in Cleveland, but Josh Downs just slides right into number two in Indy, right? So he's already there, and he just looks like kind of a dog in general, like on tape, and just you saw him when he got drafted. He clearly had a chip on his shoulder, didn't want to fall that far. So. Yeah, I you know, the upside in terms of like fantasy player, like I don't think he could ever be a wide receiver one, probably low end wide receiver two is the upside. But I think he's probably going to be a useful wide receiver three pretty quickly and consistently within his career. So little upset that I don't have any of him, to be honest, and I had a chance to grab a share.
Same draft with that someone where I got the three wide receivers and I think the second. I got Downs, Mims, and Mingo.
I don't know who you were drafting with bots. Like, these guys, I don't even know what was going on there. Like, you should never be able to get Mims that late at all.
I know. And I mean, I was going back and forth on who I should pick at the 2-3, 2-4, not even thinking that any of them would be there at the 2-10, and it all just worked out.
Yeah, that's sometimes it just works out that way. You love that. I actually, this isn't a rookie draft, but I'm just going to bring it up since we're talking about misses. I'm in a startup, and it's a 2.0 tight end premium league, right? And I'm in like the 8th round. And person next to me has Deshaun Watson, but they already have Amari Cooper. And I'm like, you're not going to draft David Njoku as well. Like, you don't want the super stack. That's gross. Like, that just feels bad, right? Like, you don't even – like, Cleveland didn't look good last year. You don't want the super stack. So I'm like – and it was like Deontay Johnson fell too far to the point where I was like, I just have to take him and hope David Njoku follows me. And he didn't. And I, like, overthought it. I just overthought it. Like, just take Njoku, too tight end premium. He has the upside. Deshaun Watson's manager is right next to you. He's going to take the guy. And for some reason, I overthought it. In my head, as soon as it happened, I literally said to myself, I was like, you overthought that. Like, you straight up overthought it instead of just making the pick and the smart play. And that was a tough decision. Bad one.
How many new leagues are you in this year? I thought you were taking a break from joining new leagues.
I was. One of them I joined early on, and then it was DU3. So those were the only two I was going to do. And then I got into this Devi league because somebody paid for my buy-in and was like, and it was DFF. It's all DFF guys. And they were like, they just wanted me in there. And I was like, and the team I drafted, they basically made it so it's just set it and forget it. Like, this team, it is so good. It is so good that I have to do very little, both on the Devi side and on the Dynasty side. It was just one of those teams that went so well. But yeah, nice. That was not my intention. I don't plan on any more this year for sure. But as we degenerates do, what can I do? What can I do? Okay. Post-draft risers and fallers. Okay, I had my rankings up here and then my computer went absolutely haywire.
I'm pulling it up.
My computer just literally logged me out of everything.
At least it left you here.
Yeah, it allowed me to be in the StreamYard. That's one good thing. Oh no, this was actually this is fun. No, this was actually something I did put together because I was when we were talking about the tight end premium 2.0 tight end premium stuff. I just thought it was interesting, so I put together a sheet where I calculated like what last year's tight ends would have scored if you know they had the two tight end premium in there compared to what they would have scored if they just had the normal points per. You know, points per reception, just 1.0, right? And I kind of did it because I wanted to see where you should be drafting certain tight ends and how high you should be pushing some tight ends over others, right? And what I found is you can see right here, I highlighted the difference in points per game between the 2.0 premium and just the regular PPR. So between 1.0 and 2.0. And you see Travis Kelce like goes up by 6.47 points per game. Right when you do the 2.0 tight end premium, he's the 4th overall scorer in points per game. I think is how that went. Right? Is it sort of that way? Yeah, in 2.0 points per game. Yeah. No, I was just making sure it was sort of that way. In 2.0, yeah, he becomes the 4th highest scorer, 25.31 points per game, which is crazy for a tight end. But if you go down, you kind of just see that like it starts thinning out after the top like 10. We're probably more like top 8 if I can gauge it right. But top 10 or so, and you can just see it flattens out, but you do have to raise these guys up about a round, so it's pretty significant. I mean, Evan Ingram going over, you know, Mac Jones and the like is pretty insane in terms of point scoring. So it's just a significant boost, and I think it helps doing this to kind of see what players you need to consider the tight ends over, right? Because that's what I was doing. I'm like, and it was kind of the Njoku thing, and I completely botched it because when I did this, I looked at it and I was like, oh, Njoku needs to be drafted much earlier. And then I didn't do it. So, yeah, this is an interesting sheet. I will.
Because you're risk adverse.
I know. And that's when it
bites. We need to get a sound bite for that. Yeah, the Jamar Chase one. We need one for that. We
can definitely do it. Yeah, I'll share this in the DFF Discord so everybody can kind of take a look at it. It helps to sort it from a few.
DU Discord.
What'd I say?
DFF.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hop in there too. Go get an annual membership and hop in the DFF Discord. It's actually really awesome there. But yeah, hop in the DU Discord. It's free, and I'll put this in the stats and graphs section so you can check it out. So that did give me enough time to get my rankings back up, which is nice. So what I really did want to just kind of touch on were some more so fallers than anything, because I think there was only so many risers in this draft. Like Jonathan Mingo is a riser that comes to mind, right? Wide receiver in Carolina. He got drafted a lot earlier than we expected. And I think, you know, with Bryce Young there, with not many other receivers, Adam Thielen there, but not many other young receivers there, he definitely looks like he could take over. He has the Ole Miss AJ Brown light profile. So definitely a riser in that respect, but I think he's pretty well known. So I did want to touch on some guys who I think were fallers, maybe one or two unnecessarily. I do have another riser or two as well, but I think for me, one of the biggest fallers, and I think some people actually see it the opposite way, but for me, Israel Banikanda, one of the guys, running backs a lot of people liked out of Pitt, he goes to the Jets, and everybody seems to be forgetting about Zonovan Knight. Obviously, Breece Hall, the stud there. No matter what, he's the stud. But then Zonovan Knight proved last year he's a good player, right? They also, don't they still have, they still have the other, Michael Carter there too. So, you know, Abanikanda definitely a back who's sturdy and can handle some work, but I don't see it for him. And I just think he absolutely took a massive hit going to the Jets. That's a big one for me. Another one for me, which I'm pretty upset about, is Parker Washington. Parker Washington was a guy who I really liked. Like, I think he's a really good player, but he goes to Jacksonville and he just didn't get the draft capital that I think we all were hoping for is really the big issue. I think he went in the fifth round, if I'm not sixth round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, right?
Which really hurts, really, really hurts a profile. But I think in Jacksonville, they are looking for that slot receiver, somebody to take over that role. You know, they were trying to get like the LaVisca Chenault in there. They have Ridley, they have Christian Kirk, and both those guys can obviously play out of the slot. Kirk does a lot, but I think Parker Washington kind of plays a little differently than these guys. So I think he could fill a role. He's definitely taken a hit based on the landing spot and the draft capital. But I'm personally not really shying away from him. I do kind of like him, and I would definitely pick him. He's going undrafted. I was able to get him off waivers in a couple leagues, in the DU leagues especially. So for that price, I definitely like Parker Washington, but I do think he's a faller. Another big one for me, I'll let you jump in if you have any here, but another big one for me is Darnell Washington. I still see people selecting him, not super high or anything, but higher than I would. He goes to Pitt. Pat Freiermuth is there. He's not going to play a receiving role. He's going to play more of a blocking role. He's going to be probably a really good NFL player, but he's not going to be a good fantasy player, and for that reason, I'm out.
Yeah, no, agreed 100%. I mean, Freiermuth obviously has his concussion history and everything, but I do not see him losing that starting job at all.
Yeah, no way. I mean, like, Darnell Washington would have to be generational and otherworldly, and he fell in the draft anyway, farther than anybody would think, and it's apparently due to knee issues. So, you know, that's definitely something to think about when selecting him, when, you know, thinking about his upside. Okay, another one who's fallen, and this one I'm actually warming up to, even though I didn't love him on film, but Zach Kuntz, the tight end for the Jets, who obviously he went in like the sixth round, but the guy's an athletic freak. He's basically free in rookie drafts now, and he goes with Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah, I'll take that shot. And we see tight ends, they don't draft capital doesn't matter for tight ends. Hayden Hurst is a first round pick. You know what I mean? Like, Mark Andrews was like a fifth, sixth round pick. Same with Kelsey. Like, most of these guys aren't high end picks that end up being, you know, outliers. So if that's what I'm looking for, I'm gonna look for the cheap Zach Kuntz share and understand that he has a really good chance of succeeding because he's a freak and he has Aaron Rodgers throwing to him now. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. In terms of success rate to investment, I think that he probably has some of the higher potential for the investment. So I like him a lot. Do you have any guys you want to hop into before I throw one or two more out there?
No, wrap it up.
All right, cool. So I think a riser. I know, I'm on a roll. Don't stop. Don't get in my way, man. I might just run you over. So one of my favorite risers here that I think nobody's talking about, I saw my buddy Paul Patterson at DFF say you shouldn't even be drafting him, which is true because you can get him for free probably. But Will Mallory, tight end, going over to the Indianapolis Colts. I was a huge, huge fan pre-draft. He's out of UM. I love the skill set. I love the size. I think that he can block. I think that, and I know that he can catch passes. He's really, really good. So I think going to Indy, where they don't have a true tight end one, he's the kind of guy, another guy, late round shot, who has the skill set, has everything that you want, that could turn into one of those upside plays, those top end guys, you know, just outliers all of a sudden. Sorry, just both Kuntz and him, they're no sure shots, but I do love the potential that I see from them.
Personally. Funny thing is, I actually grabbed Mallory off waivers yesterday, $0 fab, got him, and then everybody in the league was just giving me shit about him. They're like, oh, go get that dumpster. I'm like, hell yeah, call me the trash man.
Hey, they can keep hating on Will Mallory. My favorite thing is you would have been saying the same thing about Mark Andrews and all Andrews, these other players the year they came out. But George Kittle, same thing. Like, none of these guys were high-end draft picks. You got them in the third and fourth round of your rookie drafts. Like, I remember the talk about this because, you know, these were a couple years before I really got into Dynasty and I was listening to this stuff, and I remember hearing about this and I'm like, that's insane. And people forget about that now. Like, obviously, Dalton Kincaid can be a very good player and he can be amazing. He's on a great team. Like, it can all work out. But typically, the guys who rise to the very top have not been top round picks. They just haven't been. So I'm okay with spending nothing on these guys and taking the shot because I do see the traits there and I do see the potential with the teams that they're on. If Will Mallory becomes a top three target for Anthony Richardson, you're really going to want that.
Quick comment from Jake, friend of the show. I think the Zach Kuntz shout is interesting, but the tight end room is insanely crowded. At least three in there. Can't see Kuntz making a first team push unless they make some cuts.
Well, again, with tight ends, they take years to break out generally, right? I think being there with Aaron Rodgers, like, first of all, he's an athletic freak. We know this. So I think that it'll probably get him on the field a little bit here and there just to experiment with him, right? I agree. The tight end room is definitely deep, but it's what, CJ Uzama and who's the other one that I'm
Conklin. Thinking
of? Conklin, right? Neither one of these guys are world beaters, okay? They're not. Like, Kuntz could easily prove to be better than one of them. We saw both of those two be semi-useful in year one. I don't think that he can be a every week starter or any week starter necessarily year one. That's not really what I'm looking for in Dynasty. I'm going after upside. You want to see them, you know, in 3 years take a leap. And I think developing under Aaron Rodgers is probably the best case scenario for a guy who's going in the sixth round. And again, just with the traits and the athleticism, it just seems like the investment is so little. Like, why not take the risk?
Oh, for sure. It's definitely risk reward, but I definitely think the reward outweighs the risk in the situation.
Yeah. Again, like, the risk is what, wasting a fourth round pick on a guy like, you know, what was I going to go get, like, A.T. Perry in the fourth? Or, you know, you take your shots, I guess. Obviously, it depends on your roster. But I saw Kuntz go on waivers in the DU leagues, and I picked him up off waivers too. Like, that's just easy peasy, you know, just build value on your team. Just seems like an easy way to do it.
Love it. All right, let's hop in some trades and non-trades.
Finish it off here. Okay, so I got an interesting one here. I was actually talking to somebody about this when I made it, and they were on the opposite side that I got. So I gave up Jimmy G in a Devy league for the Devy 201, which ended up being Zachariah Branch. So Zachariah Branch is very likely going to be one of the top receivers, if not the top receiver in his class when he comes down to the NFL. He's just that damn good. So there's a lot of upside there for me. I was targeting Zachariah Branch specifically. I just saw the way this draft was going in the first round. Somebody said, you know, my 111 and 201 are on the block. I tried to get both of them for Jimmy G. I think I ended up going straight up. Yeah, it was straight up. But I didn't want to haggle about it too much. I felt that, you know, I think I have Josh Allen and Tua in this league, right? And obviously having Jimmy G and a third QB, always helpful, bye weeks, injuries, whatever. I've kind of gotten away from caring about that so much and just saying, like, I need them to be really good. Tua and Josh Allen are really good, right? I need them to just be really good. And if they're really good, the bye weeks are the bye weeks. I'll be fine. I'll get through them. And I'm not going to worry about injury because that you know, I just can't worry about that so much. And I could probably get cheaper QB play somewhere else. Let me give up Jimmy G and go get a high-end Devy asset to replenish my Devy pool. Somebody said to me, Jimmy G probably has another 2 or 3 years left in him. That seems like a lofty hope, in my opinion. So I just think, I don't know if you're going to be able to get the 201 next year or year after. So to me, it just felt like a good way to churn.
No, I like this trade for you. I think it was a very smart decision on your part. I mean, it's kind of, I mentioned in the DU Discord earlier, I'm kind of trying to do something like this for Kelsey. Obviously, I'd be needing a lot more value. But at some point in the next couple of years, Kelsey's going to start a decline. So I really rather try to sell him now when he's at the top and I'm able to get a return for him versus when he's already declining there. So I think what you did with Jimmy G is extremely smart. You sold him now for the 201 when, in all intents and purposes, who knows what he's going to look like in that offense over there. We haven't seen him throw one pass. Don't know if he has a connection with Devontae or anything. So I would, yeah, I definitely like this for you.
And I just, it's weird to me because, like, I think Jimmy G, like, you saw how fast his value can tank in Dynasty, right? Because when he was on San Francisco, he wasn't always a starter there. They brought Trey Lance in. He's the backup. Remember that? Remember that time period? He wasn't worth 2.1. He wasn't worth anything at that point. So for me, when I, like, with players who are volatile like that, I don't want to hold on to them to be my QB3. Like, that doesn't, especially when I need other stuff or I can see like a very sharp value shift that I can, you know, manage. It doesn't make sense to me to say, yeah, like Jimmy G QB insurance for Tua and Josh Allen over Zachariah Branch, who might be a top rookie pick in a couple years. You know what I mean? Who's going to hold all this value, and he's a much more liquid asset. I can move him for whatever I want over time. So it was just interesting because I did get that other side saying like, I think I would take Jimmy G here. That's a good deal. But for me, with the return on the Devy side, I love it.
Risk averse.
Oh, dude, that's risk perfect. Risk averse. Yeah, we should record that. We should record that and I'll just pop it in there.
Risk averse.
No, but in all honesty, I love this trade for you. I think you hit it out of the park.
I think this was actually me not being super risk averse, right?
No, it's not at all, but I just
this was me actually. No, I like that. I think that's a good one. It's just the dictionary, just, you know, pronunciation, risk averse. That's perfect. Yeah, I'll splice that up, make it an MP3, and then we can play it on here anytime we want. All right, so yeah, that was mine. And what do you got for us?
I don't have any trades this week.
Oh, was this other thing Uriah then?
Well, I'm guessing that must have been Uriah then.
So I will save it for next week.
Yeah. Oh, well, so I don't have any trades, but I'm discussing on a trade right now. So I guess I'll just gauge your opinion on it. Guy approached me for Khalil Herbert and Najee. Offered me, wanted Najee and Khalil Herbert. And he was going to trade me his 111 and 112. All right, sorry, 111 and 201. So he's like, what would it take for you to possibly trade him? So I was like, let me see here. So then I'm like, well, who else are you interested in? He's like, how about Pickett? So I'm just thinking Pickett and he has AR. And I only have one share of AR. And it's in my Debbie League. So I kind of want him in just a standard like Superflex League. So I'm thinking about shooting him back Najee and Pickett for AR.
I mean, that's risky for sure. But that is the way to really, whew, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess that's solid. It does feel like just immediately thinking about it, like you should be able to get something back with AR. Cause that's what, let's just say like the 102, let's call it the 102, just to give it a pick value to like, think about it. Najee and Pickett for the 102. I guess that makes sense.
Let me shoot this over and see what he says. No, I'm like, what would it take to get AR? And he's like, oh, I kind of don't really want to move him right now. He's my only share. I know I have to wait a season before I can slot him as a starter. I'm like, I hear you. I'm like, just let me know. I'm like, I'll pay up for him. He's like, well, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. So I just shot him over this trade, so we'll see what happens. We'll have some content for next week's episode, everybody.
It's a starting point. Actually, yeah. This is another good one. This trade didn't get done or anything because I declined. But right after the startup and the Devy startup of this league, I have a stud team, right? I have Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and like all these really good players. Mm-hmm. And I don't have many running backs though, right? I have Caleb Williams on the Devy side, right? Likely the top QB coming in next year to the NFL. Zachariah Branch. I have like a bunch of really, really good Devy assets, right? And somebody came to me right after and was trying to pitch me something. And as soon as somebody's trying to pitch you something, you know,
run, that
it's probably something you don't want to do. And he sends me Jonathan Taylor, Mike White, because I have two in the league, Mike White and Damian Harris, I think, for Caleb Williams. And he's like, your team's one running back away. All you need is a running back and you can take it to the title. And I was like, I can't tell you how fast, like, I got the trade and I declined it. Like, he sent the trade and I opened it up and declined it immediately, because I'm like, I'm not giving away my 101 Devy asset like the week I drafted him. Like, it's May. I don't have to do anything right now. And I was just, and he's like firing stuff at me. But this is just what I'm saying. Like, it was a good example for me, because like, I was like thinking about it. I'm like, oh, JT's pretty enticing, like this, that, and the other. But then I was like, yo, he's like really pitching this to me. Like, no, there's something wrong here. Like,
something here. Wait, I need to double check this a little bit. Hold on.
If anybody's trying to sell you, hey, here's a piece to win your league, I would think twice about whatever they're doing. Run.
And all right, I have one last one that didn't get done. Shout out to Matty J, another friend of the show, DU member. He shot me over T. Higgins and 3.06 in console. So that's what, 3.02. So T. Higgins and 3.2 for Waddle.
I would take T. Higgins.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no. Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty close.
I'm not moving off him, yeah.
Like, Waddle probably in the rankings is just ahead of him, but T. Higgins is still inside the top 12. You get plus on top of him. I think he's still a stud. Like, yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's an interesting trade. Wow, I like the T. Higgins side. That's an interesting one. But you guys are both Dolphins fans, so yeah. It's like, it's mental. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, if it was any other wide receiver, I probably would have been like, yes, but I'm not trading away Waddle. And before he even is in his prime. And I mean, T. Higgins is a great player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to trash talk him, but I don't know. I got to stick with Waddle.
Yeah. I think they're both wide receiver ones on any other team that they're on. They're both studs. So you can't really go wrong there, in my opinion. I would honestly, like, it's weird. I would probably take the side just because it has a extra thing on it. I find them very similar, and I don't have any bias to the Dolphins. And like, I want this player on my team, which you should have. It's fun like that. So yeah.
I also think it was because it's the 302. If it was like, for some reason, mentally, if it's like the 210 or 211 even, I think I probably would have done it versus it being the 302.
I feel that. Yeah, I feel that. And honestly, in this rookie draft, it matters too. Like, the difference between those two picks kind of matters. So, wow, that's an interesting one. It's a good one to finish it off with. I like that. Man, we were a mess today. I'm sorry, listeners. We were all over the place, but we got through it. We always do.
We got through it. That's all that matters. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Dynasty Underdog. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Underdog, at Uriah Dawkins, at Willie Beeman DFF, and at Josh M. Goldberg 92. Follow us on Discord, subscribe, and hit that like button on YouTube.